I'm free to be me. Aren't you glad there's only one me? Go ahead, you can respond. You can see if I can get it right. There's a few dents in my fenders, some rips in my jeans, and I forgot the next line now. But I know it says that perfection, I'm trying to get all the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being perfect. Because none of us can do that. Jesus Christ was the only one who could. And today we want to look at a man by the name of Elijah who, although he did the right thing, after the moment that he did the right thing, he had an incredibly low point in his life. And I want you to think about it as I read this, because for us, the same kind of thing happens. We have a high point in our lives, and normally after that high point, there's a little bit of a down. I know there may be some of you that can travel from high point to high point to high point and just keep right on going, but I have found, especially in the spiritual walk, after a high moment, there comes a place where there's a low place. So listen to what happened to Elijah. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. An absolutely incredible story. It's an incredible story if you know what's in the chapter before it. You see, in the chapter before this, the people of God were following Baal and other gods. And Elijah is given this information, "I want you to go to a certain place and I want you to challenge them." And the challenge was, "You get a bull for you and all your prophets, and I'll get a bull for the God Adonai. And what we'll do is we'll offer them up as a sacrifice, but do not light the fire. Do not light the fire. Let your God do that." So 450 prophets of Baal arrange everything on the altar and put the wood on the altar and put the cow there upon the altar, and they offer it up to their God, and they cry out all day, asking Baal to bring down the fire and take up their offering. Doesn't happen. Matter of fact, part of the way through the day, and I really like this story because of what Elijah does. A part of the way through the day, Elijah's off to the side just watching them because he told them, "You go first." And so he just kind of stands off and watches them call on Baal, and nothing's happening. And then Elijah starts to go, hey, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to yell louder so that he can hear you. And he spends the rest of the day joking on them. He really does. He jokes on them left and right. And he says, maybe your God doesn't know that that's what you want. Maybe. And they cut themselves as a sacrifice, offering up to Baal. The Baal may bring down the fire. And by the end of the day, nothing happens. But if you read the story very closely, it appears as though Elijah had a fun day that day. If you're looking for humor in the Bible, that's one place to find it, because he jokes them over and over again that day, prods them on and says, maybe your God's not paying attention to you. What kind of God is that? And then he brings 12 stones and arranges them, one for each tribe of Israel. And he puts the wood upon the fire, and he arranges the cow upon the fire, and he says, let's do one more thing. And they dig a trench around the whole altar. And he says, go and get some water. And they pour water over the offering. Not once, not twice, but three times. They go and get jars and pour water over the offering to the God, Adonai. And as it's filling the ditch around it, it's full of water, he prays to God, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the whole offering. And he says, now see, the God that I serve is the real God. Grab these prophets and kill them. 450 prophets were killed, and there may have been 850, because there's another passage that talks about there are 450 of prophets of Baal, and there's 400 prophets of another god, Asherah, and they are both there. And he says, grab them and kill them off. So you see, Elijah has just defeated 450 prophets of Baal, and he's also displeased the royal family. The royal family of Ahab and Jezebel. Even to this day, the name Jezebel is not a good name, is it? You see, Jezebel was all about following the wrong kind of gods and leading people to follow the wrong kind of gods. And she sends a message to Elijah, and she says, I know what you have done. And by the end of the day, if I don't kill you, may the Lord's do with me the same. Would you run from the queen? Would you run to find a place to hide? I mean, she's got power. She's done some incredible things in support of her husband, and she's done things that her husband refuses to do. Matter of fact, at one point in time, her husband wanted this vineyard, and the guy wouldn't let them buy it. This is my family land. We talked about that on Wednesday night. This is my family land. I can't sell it. And Ahab comes home. That's another passage I like, because it says Ahab comes home and he pouts because he can't get the land that he wants. And his wife notices that he's pouting, and she says, what's wrong? Well, I wanted this land. You know what she devised? She devised a plan for people to come forward and lie about the man who owned the property, and he was killed for the lie. And Ahab was able to get the land then. Ahab and Jezebel are not good kings and queens. They're not good at all. They're terrible folks. I don't blame Elijah at all for hiding. You see, through Elijah's victory, the family, or the people of God, did turn back to God. They did turn back to God. They came back to God and they said, this is the God we're going to serve. This God who couldn't light this altar, we don't serve this God anymore. We want to serve the God that does incredible and wondrous things. And they turned back because of Elijah's victory. one of the greatest victories of all time for a prophet. And he goes and hides. He's worn out. He's ready to quit. He's used up his energy. He has no more. Such a wonderful high point, and some of us would say, at such a wonderful high point, it seems like you could coast on forever. And Elijah says, God, I wish I was dead. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to have to focus on this anymore. And a matter of fact, he even goes on to say, I'm the last one that's left. There are no others. And if you continue to read this chapter, you find out that God says to him, Elijah, there are 7,000 more that you don't know about that are walking for me. And Elijah says, have you ever been so down in the dumps that all you want to do is go take a nap? So down in the dumps that all you want to do is go take a nap because you know when you wake up, it's bound to be better than it is now. Have you ever done that? I'm going to admit that I have. If I crawl up in the lazy boy and kick that thing back, I'll bet when I wake up, things will be much better than they are now. Bound to be, right? You see, that's what Elijah's done. He's gone off and he's hidden. He's worn out. He's ready to quit. He doesn't want to do this anymore. Not at all. And for some of us, that's the place that we come to in our lives. On our spiritual walk, it seems to get more and more difficult as we walk along. It seems to become harder and harder, and we get to a place where we go, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. And it very easily can happen after a very high spiritual moment. I've become used to this. It does happen. It does happen for me, and I need to pull back some. And sometimes I want to be just like Elijah. All I want to do is hide. I want to make sure that nobody can find me and nobody can talk to me and nobody knows where I am. And I can pull back and kind of heal up a little bit. Because that, although it was a high spiritual moment, was a very difficult moment. Allowing God to live through you. But what happens as Elijah is there is twice an angel comes to feed him for the journey ahead. He wakes him up once and he says, eat and drink. And then Elijah does the very best thing that you can do on a Sunday afternoon. He goes back to sleep. Come on, some of you are going to do that this afternoon. That's the 11th commandment. And if you don't know the 11th commandment, I'm sorry. Thou shalt take a Sabbath nap. If that's not in your Bible, bring it to me and I'll write it there for you. He does the very best that he can at the moment because he's still wore out. He just takes a nap. And the angel wakes him up a second time and he says, eat and drink because the journey ahead is an awful lot. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard, but you need to eat this food before you go. Now, whether the angel is in his dream or whether it's an actual thing that he eats some food, the understanding here is that the angel is bringing him the spiritual food that he needs to continue on this journey. That's the understanding. And we need to be looking for that in our lives too. We need to be looking for that spiritual food. First off, we've got to recognize that there's going to be downtimes on the spiritual journey. There is always going to be downtimes. And they're especially going to happen after high points. I don't know how many of you have been off on a retreat weekend. And you go off on a retreat weekend and you come back and Monday morning you get up and you go to work and you do your normal things. And guess what? The world hasn't changed. You may have had on that retreat a high spiritual moment. I don't know how many of you maybe have been on a walk to Emmaus or heard about a walk to Emmaus. You go on Thursday night, and for 72 hours, you are soaked in the Word of God. And people are praying for you around the clock to experience the love and the compassion of God. Over and over again for 72 hours, this idea comes to you of how much God loves you. And I can remember when I went on my walk to Emmaus and I came home Sunday afternoon. My wife had not been yet. My kids didn't know what it was about. And their first comment, I think, was, "Something happened to Dad. Why is he different?" You see, I went off for that weekend, and I found out in a very deep and positive and great way how much God loved me. What an incredible retreat. If anybody ever invites you to go on a walk to Emmaus, I would encourage you to do it. I've helped a number of times on the leadership teams, and as I've helped on the leadership teams, the same exact thing happens in a deeper way, in a much deeper way, because now you know the movement of the weekend, and it becomes a very high spiritual moment. And on Sunday afternoon, one of the things they emphasize with you before you go home is you have changed, but the world hasn't. And see, for a weekend, you're surrounded by 60, 70, 80 other folks that are just encased in the love of God, and they're bringing that love to you over and over and over again, and you go to work on Monday morning, and it's not the same. And it can be a very high spiritual moment, and then it can be a very low place on that Monday. As I worked on the teams helping out with that and planning for that for other folks, I always took Monday off. I always took Monday off. Those that had worked on the leadership teams, we called it Emmaus Monday. We took that Monday off so that we could kind of heal up some and we could let God feed us. You see, there's going to be these dips in the spiritual moments, in the spiritual path. And it's during those times that we must pause and let God feed us. Elijah did the right thing in pausing. He did the right thing in taking and eating the food that was offered to him by the angel of God so that he could be healed up, so that he could be filled up, so that he could be ready. I think it was this past week I put up on the church Facebook page, you can't pour from an empty cup. There's not a single thing you can pour from an empty cup. You see, we've got to let God feed us. We've got to let God nurture us. And it's especially after those high moments. I found this year, after VBS this year, I needed to take some time to pull back a little bit. What an incredibly high moment. What an incredibly fantastic thing in some kids' lives. What an incredibly special moment. And I had to take back and pull back a little bit. And I had to let God feed me, so that I could be ready for the journey ahead, because I'm going to tell you right now, the journey ahead from this place, church, is much harder than it was to get to this place. The journey ahead is going to be harder than what it took to get to this place. Are you allowing God to feed you? Are you willing to pause and let God feed you? Are you willing to wait until the meal is served? Will you be willing to pause and let God feed you for the journey ahead? I'm convinced. We've got an incredible journey ahead together as a community of believers. An absolutely incredible journey ahead. Will you pause for a moment at times to allow God to feed you so that then you can be ready to live the journey? Now I've yet to have a meal that's fed me for 40 days and 40 nights. But it says that Elijah did. I wonder what that would be like. Wonder what it would be like to have spiritual food that would prepare you so well for the journey ahead. Are you getting it now? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we do realize there's ups and downs in the spiritual life. And sometimes we do the best that we can to get through those down moments. But the truth is, Lord, if we will pause and look to you, you're ready to feed us during those down times. So we pray, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us and help us. One, that we truly can pause and not just run from one event to another. And that two, that we would partake of the food that you bring to us and allow that to nurture us spiritually so that we might truly be ready for the journey ahead that you have for us as a community of believers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.